Blog Talk Radio.
Second, that Wrestle Radio has gone out to pasture, you have got to be fucking kidding me. Because I, you know, enjoyed my time in Brooklyn. You know, okay, it's where I live. I had a damn decent time. I didn't have to fly this time. I just went everywhere by train, used Uber at nighttime because, as every New Yorker knows, the bus takes for fucking ever, and they go a different route each time. So you text the number to find out your route or where you're going, just in case the route changes. Anyways, I'm getting off topic talking about MTA, because those bootsy-ass motherfuckers, some of them know where the fuck they're going. Anyways, I'm getting off track here, no pun intended. So it was SummerSlam weekend. You know, to start things off, you know, you read about who you're going to meet and greet and where they are going to be, and I got to meet the Usos, sign, you know, have them sign my WrestleMania program. I, you know, by luck and happenstance, bumped into a few people that I was really, you know, became good acquaintances with, and we got to go to the hotel afterwards and get autographs like a bunch of marks that we are. So not only did I get the Usos autographs, I ended up getting Big E. And then the next day I went to Foot Locker, where Big Show was, and got his autograph and the WrestleMania book, again, the WrestleMania program. So what was SummerSlam weekend like? I mean, started off, you know, with the autograph signings. I went to Nathan's Hot Dogs. I basically played tourist, you know, for the first time in my life. Maybe second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh time. Anyways, went to Nathan's, caught in the sights, and then I went to my first event on Saturday, which is NXT TakeOver. I ended up typing out each of the results for SummerSlam and TakeOver, also Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live. I'm telling you what, Barclays is a live and happening place. No matter if the show on Barclays or MSG, it's a lot of fun, so here goes. So while I get to my notes here on my phone, you had an opening match at NXT, Peyton Royce versus a nobody, basically. I didn't know who she was, I didn't care. Then you saw Tyler Bate and Trent Seven versus Pete Dunne and Wolfgang. Pete Dunne and Wolfgang ended up winning that match. And then TakeOver 3, the very first match that began the night was Andrade versus Johnny Gargano, a.k.a. Johnny Wrestling. Match was extremely back and forth. I loved the pace of the match. I thought it was great. And I sat, you know, next to true wrestling fans, as I like to say, out east. There are wrestling fans everywhere. But then the match after that was for the Tag Team Championships. It was Authors of Pain versus Sanity. In this match, you saw Eric Young use the Freebird rule of Killian Dane. I thought that was great. I also thought Nikki Cross's involvement in the match was pretty decent. You know, she did go through a table to protect her leader, Eric Young, or somewhat thereof. But after the match, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly got involved. And if those of you, for those of you who are not too familiar with Ring of Honor or any of the other independent circuits, I can tell you, I'm not trying to be a condescending jackass, but Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Those names are synonymous because Bobby Fish is a 40-year-old man who looks like he's in his mid-20s, okay? And he comes in the ring and starts attacking Sanity. They lay waste to them, okay? So after that match, it was Hideo Itami versus Aleister Black. Aleister Black's, you know, he had a live theme going on. So it was a very, you know, strikey match. Not streaky, strikey. A lot of fists, a lot of kicks, a lot of back and forth, you know, no sells, which is fine. I don't give a flying fuck. It was a nice, decent match. Aleister Black hits Hideo Itami with Black Mass, and that's that. Now, Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Roode. If I missed a couple matches in NXT, my bad. But here's the fun part. The match between Drew McIntyre and Bobby Roode kind of, I'm not going to say lackluster because no match in NXT or anything that NXT does is lackluster. I will tell you, that match was highly entertaining, very back and forth. Bobby Roode did not win the match for a specific reason because he obviously, I will discuss this later on, was headed somewhere, which prompted a move that started complete and utter chaos in the wrestling fandom world. No, not totally. So anyways, Drew McIntyre is your new NXT champion. Trying to say something here. Jinder Mahal, the current world heavyweight champion on SmackDown Live. Drew McIntyre, the next 3MB member, is now the new NXT champion. And again, this time, guys, we saw one, the only cited Adam Cole, which was too sweet. Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly. And they got the two sweet chants going from the Brooklyn crowd and Barclays. And I got to say, oh man, not only were the matches off the hook, but the guests that were there. I don't want to say Baron Corbin because that dude, he's not off the hook. But Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, Sasha Banks, Bayley, they were all there, and it was pretty badass because I believe one of Kevin Owens' tweets on Twitter was something about, I just want to see Adam, it's good to see Adam Cole in WWE. And to that effect, that was pretty badass, you know, just to see, okay? And also, I'd say match of the night was probably Trent Seven and Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne and Wolfgang. Only because those guys, someone said, you know, all he did was, what all Tyler Bate did was fly off the ropes. He's entertaining is what he is. And, you know, different people, different variation of opinions. I bumped into a lot of good wrestling fans, and it was pretty badass. So I give NXT an A+. I loved it. I had a good time. I thought, you know, just sit back and enjoy. Don't try to criticize it too much. And the only I believe they had an NXT taping for Wednesday night, what went on. But the funny part is, you know, no way Jose came out and got his ass beat. I'm saying that's the funny part. Yes, I am, because I don't care for No Way Jose. Just like I know most people don't care for who I like sometimes. So here's this. Okay, so SummerSlam Sunday, I remember going out to the beach and coming back to charge my phone, then going to Times Square to charge my phone again, then hopping on a train to Atlantic Avenue, Barclays, and going to the actual event. So, SummerSlam begins, and Neville defeated Akira Tozawa, but the Miz-Taraj, I guess, defeated the Hardys and Jason Jordan, which, I don't know why The Miz and somebody was not, you know, involved in a tag team championship match, but to me. So you have the Usos who defeated New Day and they won back the tag team championships, the SmackDown Live titles. Natalya, congratulations, girl. You deserve it. She defeated Naomi for the SmackDown Live Women's Championship. And again, you know, it was a very back-and-forth match. It was crazy. Natty ended up putting Naomi in the sharpshooter. And now Natalya is your new SmackDown Live champion. Hopefully they keep it on her for a while. Carmella's involvement, you know, most people expected her to cash in. The WWE strayed away from being predictable, and they didn't do anything about that. Moving forward, you got the Orton versus Rusev match. Randy Orton hits Rusev with an RKO. All right, Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks. Not too thrilled with this victory, but Sasha Banks did win the championship. The match was off the wall. It was decent. Okay, so got to give Sasha props. She won the championship. Not too thrilled, as I said, because she, to me, is a perforated Barbie doll, just like the rest of the Divas division, or women's division, my bad. And I'll explain why later. So one of the matches of the night for me was Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. Why, you may ask? Okay, so we're getting a question on Instagram about why it was one of the matches of the night. Finn Balor's entrance alone, you know, he's got the whole world in his hands, and it was very slow, very deliberate, because it was bringing back the atmosphere of the Demon King, Finn Balor. So I'm happy to see that version of Finn back. I mean, didn't matter to me whether he had on face paint or not, but to me, him with the face paint on makes a whole bit of damn difference. So being there Sunday at Barclays, I was sitting, you know, nosebleed at first, and my friend let me sit fucking front row. Just sat up in the nosebleed for six matches. That's aside from the point. This match was crazy. I know I don't go into detail too much about the match, but I believe it was a very seesaw match. Bray would go on the offensive. Finn would go on the offensive. You saw a lot of moves on the outside in Barclays. You saw a lot of moves like suicide dives, moonsaults. You know, different variations of aerial assault was used in this match by Finn Balor, who eventually, you know, hit Bray Wyatt with a coup de grace, won that match. So moving forward, you have the reuniting of The Shield, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins going toe-to-toe with Sheamus and Cesaro. Now, during this match, I'm not saying that this took away from their match, but there was a highlight where Cesaro takes a beach ball, literally goes into the Cesaro section, takes a beach ball, and completely just dismantles the whole thing. Okay? Now, that wasn't the entire focus of, you know, the match. But to me, I will say congratulations, Seth. Congratulations, Dean. You guys are the new Raw Tag Team Champions. Yay. Kind of, sort of. So, was SummerSlam the only event that I went to? Oh, I think fucking not. Because when in Brooklyn, you must go all the way or go home. Sunshine. So I went to Monday Night Raw, and Lord, I was not expecting this, because Braun Strowman basically had this match in the bag, right? I didn't expect Lesnar to get up, you know, after he had the shit supposedly beaten out of him. But here's the deal. During that match, the Fatal 4-Way was so brutal. Braun Strowman basically picked up an announce table, threw it on top, or slammed it on top of Lesnar. Lesnar then comes out and proceeds to beat the ever-living stuffing out of Braun Strowman. Granted, you know, Braun Strowman This is during the match with Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. And why did I skip over Shinsuke versus Jinder Mahal? Jinder is basically, I don't know, he's getting stale as a champion, in my opinion. It's the same shtick, you know, where the heel gets up on the apron and distracts the referee, and then Jinder takes advantage off the distraction and wins the match that way with the Colossus Slam or whatever it's called. So, sorry guys, I don't like, the only thing cool about that match was Shinsuke's entrance. There you go, bada boom. I just made the point in the room. So, the Universal title match for the Raw Championship, the outcome is disappointing because for the umpteenth time, it involves Brock Lesnar. For the umpteenth time, it's a disappointment. For the umpteenth time, the booking side of things on Raw's end, again, blows more than Jenna Jameson on a porn set. You want me to be appropriate, child appropriate with this? You thought wrong. Roman Reigns, thank God, did not win the championship. Some say, who cares who wins the championship? You should just be happy to have a champion. I'm not happy, period, because it makes no sense to build Samoa Joe into this badass character who makes Brock Lesnar look like a champion, who made Brock Lesnar look really tough. You know, just barely hitting an F5 and getting the cover the first match they had. And then now he comes out of nowhere. He's nowhere near involved in the match because I don't know what the company plans on doing, but Lesnar finally shows up to a Raw afterwards. Does that mean he's got the championship for a month or two? I don't fucking know. And I don't, at this point, I'm expecting disappointment now at SummerSlam because it used to be decent. SummerSlam used to be the pay-per-view that was a precursor to Survivor Series. Now you have all the in-between pay-per-views that come after that. So at No Mercy or whatever the pay-per-view they're coming with next, I believe you can expect a bit of revenge on who's Samoa Joe's mind or Braun Strowman. If they induce the Fatal 4-Way rematch cause, that'd be great because all those parties involved, one of them which is not a fan favorite, again, I don't give a fuck because it's politics. I don't care. So what am I grading SummerSlam as? I give it a C- because half the matches were decent. Half the matches made me think, okay, not so bad. And then, you know, it wasn't the expectation, but it was like, okay, the end result. Why? You know, why go this direction? I stopped asking after, you know, the first, you know, first fuck you to the fans, which was have Lesnar as a champion. And then, you know, after a month and a half build with Samoa Joe, you don't put the title on him? Give me a fucking break. I'm not trying to sound disrespectful towards any of the booking team whatsoever. However, I'm questioning the ability and not just, I know you don't write, but you decide, you know, what goes or who takes the title home at the end of the day. So the question is, why put a strap on a guy who is considered to be the most hated amongst the fans? Brooklyn made a chance at Suplex City because they don't know any better. Trust me. The fan base from there does not anywhere out east chance Suplex City because the man does not know how to throw a proper German. He also, you know, when he wrestles, he doesn't have very many moves. It's clothesline, power slam, F5, call it a day. But the fans love it when he destroys or dismantles John Cena or Roman Reigns or anybody else. So that, you know, they cheer for it. That's aside from the point. So why am I going off tangent about the main event for the Universal Championship? Because if you look at things from a realistic perspective, if you look at things the way that it was booked and set up for SummerSlam, Samoa Joe should have been champion right now. Braun Strowman, maybe, but not ready. Roman Reigns, I'll get into that discussion later on. Seeing as how, you know, I've got an hour and 10 minutes, I might as well go over Raw and SmackDown Live in Barclays because WWE had a special thing going on. You know, they were in Brooklyn for the last how many days, so they probably switched hotels or stayed in the same one. I don't give a flying fuck. But just, you know, it's late. Yes, the F-bombs are going to drop. And if you have a child, plug their fucking ears. So, sorry to sound vile, not really. But on the eve of Monday Night Raw, you see Braun Strowman coming out to confront Brock Lesnar. And boy, I'm going to tell you what. If Lesnar looks like a bitch in front of both Braun Strowman and Samoa Joe, I'm going to tell you this right now. It proves the fans' theory correct that Lesnar should not have held that strap. It's fucking pointless anymore to argue more because WWE Creative does the complete opposite of what the fans want. And that is, you know, give them the champion that they want. But, oh, they're very fickle. They can't decide for themselves. Yes, the fuck they can. So you're telling me that Braun Strowman, who basically beat the ever-living crap out of Brock Lesnar, and Lesnar still gets up and doesn't do jack shit in the match but suplexes. I mean, that's all he knows. He's going by gimmick. So, you know what? Anyways, I'm moving forward. Enough of that banter. So, backstage, you see Emma complaining to Dana Brooke about her lack of opportunity. That seems to be Emma's little shtick lately. So, now, Nia Jax, you see, is facing off with Emma after that little confrontation in the back with Dana Brooke. Give Emma ZPR. Oh, I fucking love that. So basically, Nia pins Emma with a Samoan drop. Match got no pop from the crowd whatsoever. Oh, and then Elias Samson defeated R-Truth. That's okay. So he hits R-Truth with the drift away. 1, 2, 3. So now we go to this long-winded segment between John Cena, Roman Reigns, The Miz, and Samoa Joe. The crowd in Brooklyn is going to be dead-ass honest with you if they hate you. Now, granted, Cena and Reigns, they pull a reaction, okay? So, not about, you know, the five moves of doom. It's not about they shoved him down our throats. And it's partially it. But Cena on Raw, I mean, are you fucking kidding me? You couldn't trade, someone decent? Him coming to Monday Night Raw set up for SmackDown Live, and I'll discuss that with you shortly. So now it's set up the match between Samoa Joe, Miz, versus John Cena and Roman Reigns. Michael Hayes' dream team. Let's just fucking say it. You know, it's set up for all of that, and we'll just, you know, leave it at that. So we're on the Cruiserweight Classic action, which, again, no one, you know, really, oh, maybe they did. They popped for it. It was Grand Metalik versus Rich Swann, Cedric Alexander, and then Mustafa Ali defeat Drew Gulak, Noam Dar, Tony Nese, and Arya Daivari. Okay, so they had a, you know, tag team match. So Neville was interviewed by Charlie, and they basically talked about the rematch between Tozawa and Neville, which I will be discussing something that happened interesting on 205 Live. Most of you know what it is. So you see backstage Jason Jordan and Kurt Angle talking about rematch. And it did happen, you know, or not rematch. They're talking about Jason Jordan facing off with Finn Balor. And I think that was an interesting choice, but I feel bad. So Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, it was a weird, odd pairing, you know, for them to be booked the Hardys. Actually, a decent match. So, let's see here. Samoa Joe and The Miz basically, he told them back off, you know. He said, you do your annoying, unorthodox thing that you do in the ring. I wrote this in my notes as I was at the show, guys. So So then you see Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss. Sasha said, well, if you want your rematch caught so bad, why don't you just fight me right now? A little thing that bugged me about Sasha Banks. Some people just, you know, don't understand. When you're trying to enjoy something, you know, this is before their matches, before SummerSlam. Leave them alone if they want to be left alone. That's all, because Sasha will not sign autographs. Depends on if she's at a session or not, so just leave her be. Okay? Finn Balor against Jason Jordan was next after that little confrontation. Man, Raw has a lot of matches, I gotta say. So, Finn Balor hit the Coup de Grace. John Cena and Roman Reigns versus The Miz and Samoa Joe. Now, I gotta say, I've never heard a crowd pop so loud for somebody choking out John Cena. I mean, I've heard them pop before where I come from. He has mixed reactions no matter where you go, so that wasn't the point. Joe had him in a coquina clutch, then Roman hits him with a Superman punch. And that's funny because Cena got hit in the jaw not once, not twice, but three, no, once. Punch. Match was all over the place. It was a clusterfuck. You had your basic dynamic heel babyface. Heels being cheered as normal in Brooklyn, so that's not abnormal. You had John Cena and Roman Reigns as a pair win on their very first night as a tag team. How fucking interesting. So I wonder. Oh, thank God. That review is over because it feels like it took 3 hours to fucking do, but I got to review something called SmackDown Live. Give me a second, guys. Thing that happened on SmackDown Live. Let's see here. Well, oh man, I loaded up the wrong review, but I will say the most notable thing that happened on SmackDown Live, aside from all the interesting things that happened on SmackDown Live. So Kevin Owens retained. And basically, you had a United States Championship match. You had a confrontation to begin the show with AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, and Shane McMahon. Oh, yes. And then Styles basically, I guess, went off tangent on Owens and called him a whiny-ass little bitch. That was great. I fucking loved hearing that. Let's see. I went backstage with Daniel Bryan and Jinder Mahal. And then Daniel Bryan ends up confronting Jinder, telling him he can't win without the Singh Brothers, yada yada. And my notes says, made a handicap match of Singh Brothers versus Shinsuke. So, I guess Kevin Owens, you know, when I was watching this on the Tron, it was kind of funny. He, you know, reminded Zayn he hadn't been doing anything. And then he said there's a 15-year history between the two of us, which is true. Why don't you referee this match? Okay, Bobby Roode defeated Yeah, about that. Bobby Roode showed up and everyone lost their shit. It was amazing. I thought it was fucking amazing. So, also, speaking of returns to WWE, it's kind of ironic that Chad Gable, you know, is in the back being depressed. So since they made a deal between the two of themselves, I guess Kurt Angle and general manager of SmackDown Live, Daniel Bryan, Shelton Benjamin, anybody, it's all about the Benjamins, right? What a return. So Gable was depressed. He thought he had to go to Raw, whatever. Not really. Now we're seeing a replacement. So is this going to be anything like Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin? I don't know. But backstage, you see Zayn and Owens. Okay, so Zayn turned down Owens. Then, okay, the next time after that was, according to my notes on my phone, the Usos faced off with the Hype Bros. Jimmy Uso hits a super kick to Zack Ryder. The Usos win. New Day, you know, not even seen. Okay, so next match we have Shinsuke Nakamura against Singh Brothers. I'll tell you right now, Kinshasa was used in this match and basically knocked out one of the Singh Brothers. We all know where this is going. So then Kevin Owens, there's a segment between Kevin Owens, Breezango, and Baron Corbin. So now Baron Corbin's going after the U.S. Championship. Yay, not really. Becky Lynch and Naomi versus Natalya and Carmella. We all know that Carmella and Natalya can never get along, so I'm not surprised there about that one, folks. Then you have Dolph Ziggler, who apparently, I don't know why SmackDown followed suit for Raw. I mean that because there's certain segments going on, but and he did cut a promo, and basically he ripped pretty much everyone a new one, including Elias Samson. That's kind of funny. He's still running his mouth, so yeah. Lana and Tamina's pointless, you know, promo. Then you had AJ Styles. And Baron Corbin talking about, you know, if you step up to the plate. So in the United States Championship match with Baron Corbin and AJ Styles, it's funny because I believe, I don't know what they're doing with Baron Corbin. It's really confusing. Because I was there and basically said that, you know, Baron Corbin went back and forth. And according to my notes, he took off the referee shirt, gave it to McMahon, and then I guess that was that. So Shane came down and saved the night, I guess. You know, SmackDown Live was kind of uneventful, but not really. So I got 55 minutes left, folks, and I'm going to discuss with you all, you know, the drill. I mean, it's time once again for the hottest segment on podcast today. And yes, I will make that claim because I've been given something new to talk about, and I'm going to talk to you about it briefly after the advertisements. If you would like to join our pro wrestling school, feel free to do so. Go to monsterfactory.org. Contact Danny Cage at monsterfactory.org. His phone number will be left on the website, on his Instagram, on his car. If you live in Paulsboro or you live anywhere in the New Jersey, Philly area. And by the way, New Jersey is a state, and no, Philly is not a state. Whoever's asking this question must be drunk. Anyways, back to the advertisements. For those of you wishing to attend Danny Cage's seminar at Monster Factory, the world's famous Monster Factory at Paulsboro, New Jersey, go to eventbrite.com or go to the website for further instructions. For those of you wanting to know how much the tuition costs, please contact Danny Cage, the head trainer, the owner, and coach at Monster Factory. For those of you wishing to attend the Brutal Bob seminar, please visit facebook.com, type in Brutal Bob Seminar in Montreal, Hangs with Bob. He will give you more info, more information about said seminar. I'm telling you, I attended one of these seminars, and I believe Brutal is one of the best dudes ever around. Uncle Bob, I love you to death. I keep learning from you every day. Other advertisements I have left. If you'd like to be a Make-A-Wish, go to makeawish.com. Be sure to check out the website. Type in the name of the superstar that you wish to have your child see. NBA superstar, doesn't matter, NHL, Ariana Grande, Mariah Carey, it doesn't matter. Type in your favorite person's name under Make-A-Wish. Become a Make-A-Wisher today and make your child's wish come true. For those of you wanting to start a podcast, please look at the information on blogtalkradio.com. Build your own website. Talk about anything, including pro wrestling, politics, music, whatever it may be. However you see fit to discuss things. Okay, guys? And I almost forgot. For those of you wishing to attend school in the Midwest, go to FightKC.com. It is National Wrestling League. The TPC is located in North Kansas City. For more information, contact Derek Stone directly. Inbox him. It is $20 for the audition. Please, keep in mind, Derek Stone is one of the best trainers well-known around the country. Also like Danny Cage, he is extremely well-known, has his name in the books. He used to work for WWE. On occasion, he's worked against some of the greats and has connections. That's not the only reason you should join, because you can make your dreams of becoming a pro wrestler, manager, valet, referee, announcer, whatever, come true. All you have to do is pick up your phone, go to Facebook.com, find Derek Stone. That's D-E-R-E-K, Stone, S-T-O-N-E. Message him directly and ask about how you can set up an audition time. And for those of you wondering about tuition, he will work with you on the payments. All right, folks. So I did a little thinking. And in this deep thought process, I'm going to relay something to you that's been on my mind just recently. So look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of personality. I know your anger, I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cost of personality. What's up, ladies and giblets? It's been too long since I've had something to say about a certain group of people, but you know what I figure? I'm going to tell you exactly what happened on a certain night, because I'm running on 5 hours of sleep, ladies and gents, so this is not me babbling incoherently. It's more or less, it's weird, when I have less sleep, I'm able to fucking put my thoughts together all rolled into fucking one. Thought process, that is. So here goes. I went to an event earlier or 2 months ago, and I just set up merchandise, doing my thing, enjoying the time there, watching this new promotion, and just, again, setting up merch, talking to somebody, shooting the breeze or whatever. If someone says that they're, I'm trying to stir up shit, I'm not going to take kindly to that. First and foremost, why I got contacted in the fucking first place is beyond me. I was taught, if someone says something about you, be the bigger person and walk away. If someone talk about being petty, in the wrestling business. You want to talk about me behind my back when I'm not present. Things have not changed between me and KCXW. I am sick and fucking tired of hearing my name when I'm not present. Turnabout's fair play. The reason why I said shit about you guys last year is because you guys like to dive into drama. No, I did not start drama when I was at this joint. I guarantee fucking it. But the minute that I got a message on Facebook about starting shit, so starting shit is shaking hands with some of you, trying to stir the pot. Is that stirring the pot for you, motherfuckers? Is that stirring the pot? Because you Fugazis have the fucking nerve to sit there and stir shit when you were a shitty-ass organization to begin with. And you know exactly why. You guys think that just because you have titles now and that you've got a few big names in your organization makes you somebody? I have every right to be upset. Why am I talking on a podcast not in front of you guys? Because if I talk in front of you guys want to have a shouting match that goes fucking nowhere. We're grown-ass adults. You have something to say, you say it directly fucking to my face. And being petty in this business, I'll give you an example. There are plenty of guys who like to expose certain people and exploit them for false reasonings to start drama so that the heat gets off of them. I went to a fucking event in Kansas. I was dead-ass tired, more so than I am right now. I took a two-and-a-half-hour plane ride from LaGuardia, by the way, to MCI, to drive straight to Independence, which is like a 20-25-minute drive. Okay, so driving from there to there, I'm getting to the point. I get to there, I shake hands with Sarge, I shake hands with fucking Jason, I shake hands with Shannon. So you're sitting there telling me I started drama when you have no fucking clue what really happened. So you're going to come after me and ask me questions when I don't even know what the fuck I did. You wait till a month and a half? Yo, why? This is why the Midwest is crooked. Some of it, not all of it. So some of you decide to start drama. Let me tell you something. You open Pandora's box, guess what? The trap has been set. Because you guys keep opening Pandora's box with not just me, but other people, starting political drama bullshit on a news feed with one of the best head trainers in the world. I'm not going to name names because that is not me. But the only reason why I decided to go off tonight is because you all need to fucking listen to what I have to say. I may not be a major name. I may not be a Corey Graves. I may not be, you know, a podcast that's worth your while. But every last ounce of me is pissed off. You understand? I'm running on 5 fucking hours of sleep, questions in my inbox talking about, did you try to stir the pot? I have no patience for dumbasses that start drama. I'm 30 fucking years old. You guys are nearing 30 years old. Maybe you guys should think about growing up, pointing fingers, you know, creating drama. Stay away from it. Don't you guys know that's one of the advice given by a certain somebody that says stay away from that shit because it makes you less plausible, less feasible from other promoters' perspectives? Being petty in the business, meaning you look for anything and everything, just, you know, you're grabbing for straws. KCXW is the shittiest brand out there right now. You think Hype Gotti was bad ripping you motherfuckers a new one? boy, you barked up the wrong fucking tree by trying to start shit with me. My name is Brian Rails, and I'm going to cut a little shoot promo on KCXW. I made peace with some of you, and yet somehow I'm trying to stir the fucking pot. You guys are the biggest pieces of shit. Some of you, not all of you, some of you, because you guys think you're the greatest gift to God's green earth. And somehow, some way, you make it to other promotions. Because why? You guys are serving. Blame that to me when it makes me sound like I'm bitter and being petty by mentioning your faults and not mine. I have a mouth, but guess what? I'm using it on a podcast for a reason. Because if I don't, I'm going to go absolutely batshit crazy. And here's the thing. When I was in Brooklyn, I didn't have any issues because I was thinking, okay, I'm just going to do a nice little podcast on Thursday and not have anything to fucking worry about. But then I get a message through my inbox from another promoter that just is stating and asking the question, what is going on? Why are you trying to stir the pot? And I was polite with this gentleman. I was up front, but I was also annoyed. Just because you dumb shits think it's okay to try and start shit between somebody that's not even in your fucking shithole piece of shit company, give a damn about what you stupid fucks are doing? Including on social media trying to beg and plead, you know, trying to kiss ass with another, you know, coach or another trainer. You guys, that's the definition of being petty, is not being able to look past somebody's mistakes or look past what somebody else did. I said that shit a year ago, and I had reason to because somebody ran his mouth after the fucking fact that I got deleted from his Facebook page, Kyle Eller. Yes, I mentioned his name because he is no longer a part of the Monster Factory. He is no longer a part of my life. But the reason why I went off on him is because he threatened me. He threatened Jake because, well, supposedly, you know, not supposedly, I ran my mouth about the stupid little fuck. Because this is an example of you cannot trust anybody in the wrestling business. When you tell somebody your deepest, you know, or you keep, you know, say, hey, this stays between us and the wrestling business, sometimes you got to watch what you fucking say because it gets let out to the, you know, promoter in charge. So, you know what, me talking shit about Catton, really? Who the fuck is he? Because they would get this chant if he ever got to WWE. Who are you? Who are you? Am I giving this group way too much credit? I think so. Because I don't want anything anymore to hear my name or my friend's name or anybody's name mentioned by KCXW. Do we have a verbal fucking understanding? If you don't mention my name, I ain't gonna mention your shitty ass company. But you know what? Back to what Hyde Gotti said. If you mention to this group that you have experience, if you mention to this group that you know what you're doing, they don't fucking care because they want to train their shitty-ass backyard yard-tard way. You guys are fucking pathetic. It's ridiculous that I ever called you my brothers. Ever. Whenever you guys actually have the ball sacks to go somewhere where it actually means something, where wrestling actually means something. It doesn't matter if it's in New York. It does not matter if it's in California, Illinois. It does not matter if it's in Oregon or if it's in Indiana or Idaho or wherever the fuck it brings you. Wrestling should not be about being petty. It should be about enjoying it, having fun, being positive. It's not going to be all sunshine and daisies your first round. Trust me. I know from fucking experience. But do any of you know what rejection feels like? And I'm not talking about love life. I'm not talking about jobs. Do any of you know what it feels like to be rejected by a promoter? It's not just me that has been through this. There's a lot of people. I am not the only one. I'm not trying to internalize shit. But what bothers me more than anything is that you guys wait till I leave to turn back and tell a promoter something that isn't true. That's just fucking... You know, if you want to be taught how to be catty and you want to be taught how to be petty, keep listening to fucking Cat and them. Keep listening to them because they don't know what the fuck they are doing. And if you want to know something about your head trainer, boys, here it is. He is not fit to be a trainer because he only trained under somebody for a whole month. And then disappeared, came back, stole ropes, by the way, and started training people how to wrestle in backyards in Liberty, Missouri. Then here comes Extreme Wrestling Center in 2015, which I regrettably found my way to, and I don't claim anymore. Used to be fun, now went to shit. Did I cause some drama while I was there? Your fucking ass I did. Because you're not used to hearing criticism? Guess the fuck what? Future of Honor wasn't bad enough. Then, you know, the stint, the drama behind the whole WWE. You know, the stint in WWE was bad. So, if you guys have not learned, that's on you. I don't give a fuck anymore. But do not accuse me of saying something I did not say. You guys think this shit's funny? Well, now you got a B-train that is on 5 hours of sleep. And when I go to work tomorrow, I'm going to be feeling damn good. You know why? Because I got shit off my chest. I got told, you know, I'm just making sure we have to, you know, look inside both sides. No. What you should do is, I mean, really, if we were paying attention, I'm the dude with the cane who sat at a merch table, watched some wrestling, was dead-ass tired, drove home, came back to my house, and just died. Just sat there and just was like, nope. Because it's pointless for me to argue. It's good for me to be cordial and polite to somebody asking me questions. So, my take on the whole situation, don't bother me, and I won't bother you. But you guys think it's really fucking funny to let people listen to what I have to say. And what's funny is the people that come to your guys' place find out the truth, except for, you know, maybe one person or two. But that's not up to me. I don't give a fuck. I honestly, everyone wants to live in their own fucking glass, plexiglass world where there's a glass, you know, top of the glass ceiling and you just can't break free or break the mold or do what you have to do. You guys are pathetic. You think you know everything about the wrestling business. You know what, guys? It's a consistent learning system. You might have to change a few things. You might have to change your repertoire. Learn about the business. Some of you honestly think you have it figured out. That's the fucking problem with you all. You think by slamming me, who I'm all the way in fucking Brooklyn, and you guys are fucking saying shit, when I leave is what I have an issue with. I don't have an issue with said people that I mentioned earlier because I'm at peace with them. I never had an issue with them beforehand. But when you all unfriend me because you are told to do so and it's up to your discretion whether or not you want to move forward because you're afraid of Jordan Smiley, this is not defamation of character. This is the truth. They sent people after me after I got fired. I have message proof I have screenshots of what transpired the week after my firing, the week after what I said about their company. And they wonder why I get upset. When you can't do things yourself as a company management to tell me or, you know, bring me to terms with what went on, then guess the fuck what? I'm going to go off like a cannon during the fucking Revolutionary War. You want me to be peaceful. You want me to be all sunshine and daisies with this group. You know what? No, fuck that noise. I have given enough time and thought into this whole process, and you know what I came up with, the foredrawn fucking conclusion? This group ain't never going to change, and eventually when it shuts its doors and becomes an AA place again, I will laugh my ass off if it's still open and there's only 5 or 6 students, maybe 12 at the most, 18, maybe 20, versus the several students at the other place. See, I'm not dragging them into this drama because I'm not about that. What I am about is telling the fucking truth about a situation. And I'm not comfortable with people telling me behind my back, you know, or telling me that this person said this about you said this and you said that. Quit twisting my fucking words. Quit doing that shit. It's bad enough when I try to explain a situation, but it sounds all jumbled because you don't want to let me explain my side of the story. I'm not talking about the current conversation I just had with said promoter. I'm talking about in general. If one of, you know, one or more people thinks about me a certain way, you know what I'm going to tell them? Well, good luck. Because in juncture, I'm 30 years old. At this point in juncture, I've been to more wrestling, not just events, but I've been through certain things in this business, not a lot compared to some people. You want to talk about depression in wrestling? Try supporting a group of people who don't recognize or appreciate you until after an incident happens and makes you try to look like the fool. By all means, if you want something dramatic to happen, it's not going to, because I will shut you down within a few minutes. If you think for 1 second that I don't hear about what shit goes on behind the scenes, you are sadly mistaken. I'm back on airwaves, bitches. And when I get guests to come here, I'm not going to ask them about what is it like, you know, do you deal with... No. I'm going to ask them straight-up questions about wrestling, because this is bullshit. I've got certain people being torn away from my show because of what other podcasts or people in the business are telling them about me. That's kind of fucking funny. Maybe it's called check your facts before you fucking talk to someone instead of reading and believing on social media. That's hilarious. That is fucking hilarious. I get confronted by someone I don't know, and he's a nice gentleman about it. He was cordial. He was peaceful about it. And I get asked, why am I trying to stir the pot? I ain't trying to stir shit. Because trust me, I've already got the spoon in my fucking hand, and I've got a microphone in my hand, and I know how to fucking use it. Okay? I have a voice. And as long as I am kicking, as long as I am breathing, understand this. If you guys want to be petulant little children, you guys want to start drama like high school, you know, you can always go back to high school and enroll, because there's no room for drama, not any space, not any inch whatsoever for fucking drama and wrestling. people want to talk about, you know, take the higher road. You know, I was told take the higher road, kid. Be much better off. Take what higher road? You know, it's funny. You trust certain people to say something, so I don't know what goes on or what went down. So I'm just kind of clueless as to who would say something. But my concern is, you know, why, you know, my name gets pulled out of a hat. I'm done. It's like I said, I'm done people confronting me about shit. I didn't start anything, and yet my name gets pulled out of the random hat and gets, you know, persecuted, accused like it did in XWC. And by the way, if they deny that I was ever on Wrestler's Court, here it is. Every little dirty fucking secret's coming out of the bag, motherfuckers, because at least when I tell the truth, it's the fucking truth. So when you put somebody on Wrestler's Court, it's usually about, you know, why they feel the need that you should be on Wrestler's Court. They waited till my friend left to confront me about my professional career. As I told you, I don't have any record of me. There's maybe one or two matches of me online. But what's hilarious, folks, is you can't begin to tell me, you know, you should feel like this, you should feel like that. Pardon my French, but fuck no, I'm not going to be told how to feel. A group of people just started, you know, stirring the proverbial pot or metaphorical pot and making sure that they got my attention. Well, do you know, as a wise man once said during his shoot promo, do I have everybody's attention now? When you're told by the owner, I can show you, and this was said to me before a show, I can show you what Christ or what Satan showed Christ before, you know, he got tempted into the desert. Lines like that were said to me before a show. I flew all the way from Jersey and I said, you know, I didn't ask for any compensation. I was cool with it at first. And then I said, well, you know, they didn't know I was going to sing the national anthem. That was mainly what I was to this group of people. I was not a manager. I was a fucking national anthem to them. Okay. That's fine. Whatever. But then I realized, no, it's not fine. I should, you know, vouch to not do that. Because it makes my character look fucking pointless. This is not a woe is me party. This is the truth about this group. When they play favorites with another manager who is in a fucking wheelchair, by the way, and can't really fucking manage to save his life, talks with a list, looks like Colonel Sanders, and smells like sewage, pours a bunch of cologne on him, doesn't take a shower, and smells really, really, really bad. Always constantly makes rape jokes, always makes religious jokes to, you know, disrespect people's beliefs. Let's go on down the line, shall we? I'm not going to do that shit. Because I've already ousted the owner and the fucking head trainer. Now, I'm going to basically say this. If you're teaching your boys to be that fucking petty, like you were back in the day, getting into fights with promoters, punching them out because you can't fucking work, and they told you you couldn't, and you know you can't, here's what I'm going to tell you. It's none of my concern anymore because I'm not with the group. But it is my concern when my name gets pulled up out of the fucking blue and I didn't do shit. So instead of spreading the fire, I've just added gasoline to it. You want me to be consistent, you got it. You want me to be consistently griping and bitching about your company, giving it more promotion to see what it's all about, You guys think you're the best thing to happen to wrestling. Truth be told, you look like a bunch of regular Joes, some, you know, that if they take you out a gimmick, you wouldn't know if these guys were fucking wrestlers or not. And they normally, you know, say, well, maybe you should be concerned about your own career, B-Train. Maybe you should focus on what makes you happy. What makes me happy is commiserating on the simple fact that I don't start drama, but they began without me. And that's fine, because as far as I'm concerned, you know, it made it easy for me on this show to pass the time instead of dawdle around like I normally fucking do. See, without even having a guest on here, people are wondering, what is this all about? What is going on, B-Train? Why aren't you happy like you normally are? Have you listened to the show lately? I ain't been happy in a long time. Actually, I was happy when I went to Brooklyn. I did see an awesome SummerSlam show. I did see an amazing NXT. I could never have that opportunity if I went, you know, I actually was with XWC when I was through Mania, SummerSlam, all that. They said, where did it go wrong? Some of the guys you think are your best buds are not. They're in it for themselves. You got to watch out for that. What does it mean to be petty in the wrestling business? It could mean anything from not getting enough shot at the title. It could be anything from, he outshined me, so now I feel like shit. Or, he made me look like shit, so why can't, you know, you just take him completely off the card? I, me personally, being in this business, as brief as I've been in it, can tell you, all of you, for that matter, with 21 minutes left to spare, wrestling is not about being, you know, the all-knowing, condescending jackass. It's about learning and being willing to do certain things that takes you out of your comfort zone. That, in my opinion, can formulate into being a successful individual in this business, in this likeness. In the likeness of being a good wrestler, you know what that, to me, describes a good wrestler? Someone who just goes balls to the wall, tries his best at selling his own merchandise, and doesn't really care about what someone has to say. Just does his thing and goes out, does her thing, goes out, and, you know, whatever. So, to me, this is what I have to say. If you're ever in the wrestling business and you like starting a whole bunch of shit, you're never going to go anywhere. And some people say, well, you start shit. Again, if we're going to point fingers, it's not going to solve a damn thing. If we're venting, on the other hand, yeah, it lets it all out in the open on a fucking podcast. Does it give you any good because the person's... Does it do any good for a person to sit there and be like, well, this group, you know, that group. In my case, I've had to deal with people that I've invested time with, spent money on. At one point in time, I was going to this place every single day. Every day. So, yeah, the title reads WWE's in Brooklyn and so much more. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's 1:10 in the fucking morning here in Brooklyn, okay? I, for starters, at this point, discussing with you all a bit of drama that happened after SummerSlam. This happened, you know, a couple hours ago. Is it dead? I don't know, don't care. I just don't understand why my name keeps getting brought up. I haven't mentioned you guys in quite a long while on the podcast. No, I did mention you tonight in a couple times, maybe 4 months ago. And if you want to dig into the archives in between guests, here it is. If my show has featured anything interesting, basically, you know, I do reviews. Basically, I state how I feel. And right now, I'm a bit irritated because not just one person, but I'm assuming it was a group effort in tearing me down. That's okay, because you guys gave me more fuel. You guys gave me more reason to hate you guys and talk about you and discuss you and this, that, the other. So, you know, with 17 minutes remaining on this goddamn show, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I've had 5 hours of sleep. I don't make things about me often. When I discuss a subject in wrestling, you hear me discussing the do's and don'ts of pro wrestling, the etiquette in pro wrestling. You've heard me discuss fandom in WWE and in the indies and how is it different. Then you've heard me go off about a group of people who seem to think it's okay to start a fire without trying to put it out. I'm not asking for an apology, but it's fucking ridiculous that this shit's going on and on and on. We're all adults. If you guys don't want to say sorry, then I'm going to say this. I'm sorry I ever stepped foot through your doors because it was a waste of fucking time. This company should have never ever been a company to begin with. Then again, I would never have learned not to join a yard tard company. So, there. That's my version of a fucking apology. Oh, and word to the wise, guys. If you're trying to start shit with someone that's a premier trainer and has a better school than yours, maybe you should think twice before doing so, because lack of judgment is showing real, real well with you guys. And it's not all that great. I'm not going to go into detail and mention names of what's all going down, but I am going to mention the simple fact that if I were the one, you know, I'd have patience and reserve, just like this person did, to say, I didn't say this, I said that. Just like I had to explain in a patient, calm manner, I didn't say anything, all I did was shake hands. Let me reemphasize this. Whenever you go to an event, make sure that you do nothing, literally nothing, and then get blamed for doing absolutely horrid shit. I mean, I cannot believe I even get questioned. Because it's like, oh, you know, you complain about me being there. That's funny. None of you, you know, some of you didn't want to face me because, you know, I said something about a few of you. Why even waste my time with you bums? Why even waste my time talking about how shitty you are? Well, I'll tell you why. Because here's what I'm going to ultimately say. The manager training, it's not much. I can tell you it's just about pulling legs, taking bumps, and, oh, I don't know, transforming into a worker when you're not even fucking sure you want to be a worker. Or transforming yourself into a referee because one of the referees actually got fired from said organization. So am I taking my shots at you guys? Yes, because you took shots at me. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's the kind of Gemini I am, motherfucker. Or motherfuckers. You want to sit here running your mouths, acting all big and bad behind the fucking curtain because you believe you're part of the business?
What you guys are is a bunch of fucking marks, like the rest of us. Believe it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, you are a bunch. We were marks for somebody. Yeah, you guys don't think so. You guys think, oh, you know, I know some terminologies, and I know that this is part of the wrestling business, and this is who I am. The fuck you do. I thought one person was my friend. I made the mistake. In the wrestling business, you're not necessarily going to make friends, but if you make at least one, don't even trust them. Always, you know, there's a time for personal. If they're your friends outside of the business, cool. But for those of you being new into the business, make sure you have a fallback job, because you never know if you get the call from WWE and that call doesn't go through. Do not quit your job. Always have a backup plan. Always have plan A and plan Z. Write down on a piece of paper your finances so that you can pay for a wrestling school. I'm giving outward advice because I'm not running out of shit to say about this group of people, other than I think it's retarded. I think it's, you know, really catty for you to start something with somebody that's all the way in fucking Brooklyn. You want to come find me, motherfuckers? I'm on Avenue R. For you New Yorkers, you know where that is? Fine. Go fucking find me. That's all I'm going to tell you. You want to, you know, start something by going to a promoter and saying shit that didn't even occur? Okay. So me trying to stir the pot. I wonder, guys. I wonder just exactly what you're, you know, concocting next when I come there. So that I start shit that I don't come with Curtis. Is that what the deal is? Because now that I think about it, Survivor Series is in November. And in December, I don't know what's going on, but I do know that I'm enjoying my stint at going to every WWE pay-per-view. I'm enjoying my time meeting superstars. I'm enjoying my time, period. But you know what's hilarious is, yo? You guys try every which way to drag me down, and you still fucking fail because I'm still standing. I am still breathing. And the fun part is, no one knows who the fuck you guys are until I mention you. Until other people mention how shitty you are, how horrible you are, and not only how petulant you are being, but how dramatic is it for you to start like little schoolgirls with, you know, canes in between, just, you know, fighting, or the old ladies fighting with canes. That's so cute. I don't even care at this point. You get told to say, you know, oh, tell him that you start something. Yeah. Tell him to message him. Like, oh, that's great. So you guys are trying to get me barred from the event. Why? I find that suspicious. So you guys want me to say something to you guys? I already did. I already know where this is headed. I managed to whittle it down to under 10 minutes. You know why? Because I have fucking thoughts going through my head of who can I trust, who can I not trust. Make me sound desperate? Does it make me sound paranoid? Makes me sound paranoid, yeah. Makes me sound fucking off the wall, loopy, and crazy. Like I said, name calling, that's kind of my specialty. Calling you out for your bullshit, that is also my specialty. So, you guys made an enemy that you don't want to make. I've told you time and time again through this promo, you don't want to get caught on the wrong side of my tracks, Jack. In this case, I've done some reflecting. Well, you know, going through my head, you know, and ranting about you guys. Is it such a bad thing that a company wants to succeed? No. Is it such a bad thing that I'm venting about you guys? No. If you go your direction, I go mine. But the sad thing is, I try to go my direction. You guys try to fucking put inanimate objects on the fucking road. So it's kind of hard avoiding you guys if that swerve every goddamn time. Which is kind of your booking style, because no one knows who the fuck's going to be champion. You finally put the title belt on someone deserving of it. It took you only a fucking year. It shouldn't matter. You know what I care? I manage this gentleman. Kind of, you know, dude who resembles kind of a stereotypical favorite in the wrestling business, and that is, he's taking too much heat. Oh, he looks better than me. Oh, I don't know what I'm doing, yada, yada, yada. I don't know about doing this. I don't know about doing that. Then take it on the fucking crash pad, motherfucker. This, you know, these group of guys, they seem like if you first meet them, they'll shake your hand because they believe everyone will shake their hand. That's, here's the thing in the wrestling business. If someone offers you a handshake, okay, to be polite, not the asshole, you take it. But if you're, you know, I don't know who you are, so why should I shake your hand? That's a horrible attitude to have. This group of guys does the two-finger handshake. What else can I list about them that's the traits that they are and the negatives? Okay, I've already listed most of those, so I'm just going to sound off for the next 5 minutes. Oh, wait, I already did that for the last 49. You want me to just grovel and say I'm sorry like I did when I was back in KCXW? You have another thing coming. You dumbasses put me on wrestler's court for a lie about my professional career. No lie of where I was. You looked through my fucking Facebook profile. So, again, you believe social media over anything. You look me up, and then you look on my Twitter. You looked on my Facebook. I don't even know how to fucking operate Twitter until late. And I'm being dead honest. It's not that hard to figure out. It's not that hard to maneuver. It's not that hard to operate. But what is annoying is when you traipse into my personal life and ask me, you know, where the fuck I live, when you hear my fucking accent, you hear me fucking talking. So not only was my personal life questioned by these assholes, but, oh, let's see. I'd say the worst part of it was getting told tonight, you know, I have to ask, you know, on both parties just to be fair. And I said, you know what? I politely said, well, you know, if you got to be fair, you got to be fair. I understand this process, but I'm not going to submit. Like, why would you ask me a month later about a situation? Why didn't you confront me the night of? That's my only thing. You know, that's my only question, is why do people wait to confront me? If I'm in a dead-ass sleep, please do not bother me. Now, that prompts me to do a show that talks about the whole situation. And that is, without a shadow of a doubt, getting old. I'm very back and forth, as you can tell. Like an Aleister Black today or Tommy match, how you doing? And for the last 4 minutes, I'm going to discuss with you something different because I'm getting sick and tired of this shit. So Enzo Amore showed up on 205 Live. Honestly, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. Because Enzo on 205 Live kind of created a stir, but it also created it in a bad way. You can tell by Neville's reaction on his face as Enzo is describing Neville, you know, S-A-W-F-T, soft. I wonder if Enzo's going to be the one to take his very first championship away from Neville. Or if the company is going to reward him or forgive him for what he's been doing. Strippers, anybody? I don't think that joke was too soon. Well, yeah, if you're going to be a pussy about it. No, I ain't sorry. And by the way, you're kind of turning into my time for Off the Rails on, you know, Wrestle Radio edition. Off the Rails Uncensored will be tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, only an hour edition. Those of you tuning into Wrestle Radio, we thank you for listening. And I'm not going to give a stereotypical goodbye to that. I'm going to dive right back into this thing. There's such a thing as being petty in wrestling. There's such a thing as being the bigger person and walking away. And there's also such a thing about venting what's going on in your life. Even though I'm not involved in the business, I don't want to train right now, currently. This is one of the reasons why I hate the fucking business, okay? Sometimes. And then I love it again. Then I hate it. Then I love it again. It's always going to be back and forth with me. But when people are stupid, it makes me have not just a love-hate relationship, but it makes me have a, should I separate from you and get divorce papers? Because only one incident can cause me to go berserk. No, there's been more than one. So when a person gets backed into a fucking corner, I'm going to come out fucking with a fist of fury. Okay? I'm not one to take kindly to insults or drama. I'm not one, you know, everyone says, well, how come drama always surrounds you? Fuck, is it always me? My question to those people who ask that question, why is it me? And then I do some reflecting and realize there's always two sides to every story. Maybe I did on one account, maybe I didn't. But I'm going to tell you right now, don't ever push me in fucking drama the fuck again. Because your company not only is misleading and misguiding people, it's telling you and the whole world that you guys exist on the basis that everything can exist without criticism. That's not a very utopian society. So tomorrow, ladies and gents, maybe a later time, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, or I'll just do one next Wednesday. So see you on the flip side, bitches. I'm done. Good night. Pipe bomb, bitches.